Welcome to the United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6 on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is the show that brings you 26 different stories around Southwest Michigan in 26 weeks, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Want to know more about the work of the United Way? Visit uwsm.org.
Welcome to United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6. I'm your host, Jennifer Tomshack, Marketing Manager at United Way. I'm filling in today for our usual host, Anna Murphy, who is our president. She was very sad to miss today's episode because we're kind of covering an offbeat topic. Tonight, we are discussing going green. And you might ask, why is United Way talking about the environment? That's not something we normally touch on. But the reason is the environment affects two of our impact areas. The first one is health. Obviously, the environment impacts our physical health as human beings. And it also affects financial stability because Southwest Michigan relies heavily on both tourism and agriculture. And in protecting the environment, we're protecting those businesses, and the success of those businesses has a ripple effect throughout our entire local economy. My first guest tonight is Kieran O'Brien from the Michigan Recycling Coalition, which is a statewide organization based in Lansing. And she is here tonight to kind of give us a little bit of a higher level picture of what is happening across the state in terms of recycling efforts. Welcome, Kieran.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. So tell us about your organization and how it was formed.
So the Michigan Recycling Coalition was formed in the early 80s. We've been around for about 38 years. And it was started by the few people in Michigan at that time that were leading the way of recycling. And recycling at that time was really about, Saturday drop-offs, newspaper and glass and that kind of thing. And a few, kind of forward-thinking communities were starting to think about recycling in a bigger way. And so these leaders came together to form the Michigan Recycling Coalition. And now we serve as the voice of recycling and the Association for Recycling Professionals, whether those be service providers, haulers, communities that offer services, mm-hmm. or businesses that recycle in their business. We have a conference every year, and we work to advance recycling, good recycling policy in Michigan.
Mm-hmm. And what is your role there?
So I'm the executive director. We've got another two staff people, so there's three of us, and we will be adding a fourth person to our staff. And you talked about, the agriculture sector being a target of United Way. One of the projects that we're beginning to undertake is how we manage agricultural film plastics. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of plastic used in agriculture to reduce weed development on crops, mm-hmm. to hold hay, to hold silage, and a lot of that plastic is sometimes buried, it is sometimes sent to the landfill. We aim to actually find answers to recycle that, which hopefully will reduce the cost and the impacts of plastic use in agriculture.
Wow. So that's one of the newer, more cutting edge things that's happening in the state. I know, though, that Michigan, going back a few decades, has actually been a pioneer in recycling with our 10-cent can deposit. I believe that Michigan was one of the first states to do that. Is that correct?
That is correct. Oregon was the first state, Michigan the second. What makes Michigan unique is that we charge 10 cents per deposit, mm-hmm. and that dime on every bottle and can covered by the deposit law gives that material value, mm-hmm. and our return rate on those deposits is right around 90%, which is very, very high across the country. So while it started as a litter control measure, because we didn't want these bottles and cans along our roadsides, our riverbanks, it really provided a very clean, good quality stream of recyclables and was helped us on our way to recycling more. We recycle, probably about 18% of our municipal solid waste stream, which is about half of the country's average. Across the country, we recycle about 34% of our solid waste. So Michigan could be doing better.
Wow. I mean, that's amazing, though.
Yeah, it is amazing. Just this last year, we had been working with the Snyder administration to advance, recycling policy. And one of the things we were able to accomplish last year is funding for recycling. And so for the first time in Michigan's history, our Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy has the funding necessary to really think about waste issues and how we can more productively use our material. And that's where this Ag Plastics project is coming out of. And I think we'll see a lot more innovative type projects coming out to get a hold on our waste, of our waste issues, and try to more productively use them.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6, and I am talking to Kieran O'Brien from the Michigan Recycling Coalition about going green. If we could just take a little bit of a step back, I'm curious to know about your background. Tell us a little bit about your path that led you into this.
I'll take you way back, because when I was, probably in sixth or seventh grade, my family and I went down to the Kentucky, the Smoky Mountains, to go camping. And as we were arriving at our campsite, which was, on a cliffside, and we looked over, this cliff or this, kind of tall mountainside, and it was strewn with garbage. And me and my family felt compelled to clean that up before we could really enjoy nature and outside. And I really think that's where my kind of interest and passion around environmental issues started to grow. When I was in college, I took classes about kind of environmental issues, but also kind of sociological issues, political issues, and have always just kind of been interested in how people relate to the environment. I got a great break just out after school with a friend of mine who worked for Clinton County Department of Waste Management for a Michigan Recycling Coalition job, and I've been kind of working with the Recycling Coalition on and off for, the past 20, 25 years. It's been a great career for me, and I think it poses a lot of opportunity for young people coming up, because I think waste is one of those kind of invisible impacts in our world. We put our garbage at the curb, and we forget about it. And if we could get a handle on what it is that kind of goes through our hands, what we put in our shopping carts at the grocery store, and what we throw in our garbage, and think about the impacts of all of that, I think we can have a big impact on making the world a better place, on reducing our impacts on the world. And now it's in the news all the time. You can't get away from it. And so I think our job is even more important to make each other aware of the impacts of the things we're doing every day.
And we all know that recycling is good for the environment, but how is it also good for the economy?
Well, this is a unique thing. Recycling is good for the economy because we are taking materials that are already circulating in our economy. We're diverting them from disposal to a material recovery facility. And at that material recovery facility, all of these different commodities are separated into their commodity type. So PET bottles are separated with other PET bottles, and there are manufacturer or end user specifications that these material recovery facilities or recycling plants try to reach in the separation of all these materials. You have, you know, several different types of plastics. You have, you know, steel cans, you have aluminum, you have different colored glass. And by separating these commodities and baling them and accumulating, you know, a truckload full, you're basically making feedstock for manufacturers. And so, you know, China has been in the news a lot because they took a significant amount of our recyclables, but the fact remains that in this country, we absorb about 70% of the recyclables we produce. And so while, you know, the market has changed for recyclables because there's a lot of material out there right now, there are manufacturers in Michigan that make products, you know, from recycled materials.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you so much, Karen, for coming on tonight. When we return, we'll continue our conversation on Going Green with Matt Connolly of St. Joseph-based Green Earth.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to the show. I'm joined this evening by Matt Connolly, who is here to continue our discussion on Going Green. So tell us, what is Green Earth?
Yeah, Green Earth, our full name is actually Green Earth Electronics Recycling, which is kind of a mouthful, but it was founded by Jim Granholm about 10 years ago, and he kind of founded this company to tackle the e-waste problem that's going on in the United States and really worldwide. So our mission at Green Earth is to keep any electronics that we receive out of the landfill.
Okay, and what is your role there?
Yeah, so my main responsibility is to kind of coordinate the recycling for our business customers and also our residential customers. So what that means is when you call Green Earth, you're going to most likely talk to me, and I will help you find a date and time for a pickup or schedule some time for you to drop off electronics at our facility.
And how did you get involved in recycling as a career?
Yeah, kind of like our previous speaker here, I have always had an interest in nature, visited a lot of state parks, national parks, so I'm always interested in keeping our world and our, you know, our Michigan clean and pristine for future generations. I actually am from Toledo, Ohio, and was lucky enough to follow my now wife to St. Joseph. She got a job at Lakeland, and I kind of followed along, and especially lucky to find a great company in Green Earth and great owners and great employees. And it kind of just fell into my lap and kind of just fit perfectly.
Are there others in the region who do this or no?
So we are, I believe, the only ones in St. Joseph, and we do have a pretty big footprint. So we'll go all the way up to Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, Battle Creek. We'll go to Chicago every once in a while. And we also have customers in South Bend, Mishawaka, Elkhart. So kind of Southwest Michigan, Northwest Indiana. So there are some other competitors in those regions, but I think we're the only ones in St. Joseph.
It is tricky with electronics. I know with me personally, you know, a lot of times I'm like, what do I do with this? You know, I know obviously this isn't going to degrade on its own, and I don't know where to put it or where it should go. And it's probably the trickiest part of all of recycling, I think.
I think so too. And especially before I had this job, I think I was probably in that same boat where I had a junk drawer full of old cables, phones. You probably hold on to your VHS player for decades because you don't know what to do with it. And you don't want to throw it away because you know that's bad, but then you don't have an avenue. So I think as we continue to grow, that awareness also grows and it helps that that waste stream kind of get recycled instead of getting landfilled, which is nice.
So what can we do about the education component of that? How do we help people to understand the right way to do it?
Yeah, I think things like this is great. We also do a bunch of recycling events throughout Southwest Michigan. I think we did 20 this year.
Oh, wow.
And I think that also helps kind of raise awareness. And then I think it's a lot of just being intentional, talking to your friends, talking to your family, and kind of just spreading that word organically. Let people know that you're going to the events. Let people know that you're dropping off at our facility. And then they'll have an idea of what to do when they have stuff to recycle. Because I think that's the biggest thing, is just spreading the word that electronics can get recycled. And there's places that you can drop off or even get pickups if the item is too big.
What about with businesses? You know, that's probably the biggest consumer of electronics and where most people use their electronics. So, like, what can you do in terms of going into a business or engaging companies to properly dispose of their electronics?
Yeah, so we work with a ton of schools, businesses, small businesses in that area that I talked about. And we try to provide a hassle-free service where we come in. We'll do all the heavy lifting. We'll load the truck. We'll get the stuff out of your facility. We try to make it as easy as possible to recycle. And so we try to provide that service for anybody that calls. If you have a need, let us know, and we will find some kind of solution to help you out.
And I know this is kind of self-evident, but why is it important to recycle electronics? What happens if you don't recycle them?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is a lot of these electronics have hazardous waste in the items. TVs, like old, you know, tube-type TVs have leaded glass. Even the new LCDs have mercury in the screen sometimes. And obviously the phones have, you know, lead-acid batteries and different components that not only can get recycled and reused, which is good for the environment and the economy, but we also don't want that being in a landfill and like leaching out and contaminating the ground.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way's 26 at 6, and I'm here with Matt Connolly of Green Earth. Can you kind of describe the participation of the community in your recycling efforts and how you personally have seen that change over the time that you've been there?
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been here about 3 years at Green Earth. And I think based on, I think the biggest indicator is our recycling events. We always keep a tally of the amount of weight that we collect at those events. And since I've been here, we have seen huge increases in each of our events where people are dropping off more and more items. So I think it does show that the awareness is happening. More and more people do know about us and about our events and that they can take your electronics to somewhere and get them recycled. So I think it's been good. I think word of mouth has helped. We've seen just more involvement in our events and even drop-offs at our facility.
What can we do as individuals and as community leaders to try to improve participation in recycling?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the biggest thing is to help grow that awareness, make sure that people are intentional just with their thought process. Just like bottles and newspapers and cardboard, I think that kind of, at least now, is like self-evident that that stuff is recyclable. We also need to just show people that electronics are as well. It's the biggest growing waste stream in the world. I think in 2016, it was about 50 million tons of e-waste that was generated, and only about 20% of that is correctly collected. So as we spread that awareness, I think that's going to be the biggest, biggest thing.
Well, we at United Way want to try to make it a little bit easier for people who are listening and want to do something about all the electronics they have stocking up in their basements. We're going to have we're going to be doing something at our office at 2015 Lakeview Avenue to help people to dispose of their electronics through Green Earth. So tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing for us tomorrow.
Yeah, this is really cool. So tomorrow we're going to be at United Way from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. And anybody in the community can drop off any electronics that they have. Just come to United Way. We'll have our Green Earth employees to help unload your cars, and we'll take care of TVs, computers, cell phones, really anything that gets plugged in or anything that gets or that runs on a battery. So there's not a lot of things that we don't accept. I'll say we don't accept light bulbs, and we also don't accept any hazardous waste. And that kind of includes thermostats, which have mercury inside. But most things we can recycle. Give me a call at Green Earth, and we can answer any questions about items that you may have.
Ahead of time, if they want to check to make sure. Okay, great. Well, I know our facilities manager has a bunch of stuff for you. So we'll be able to at least help fill up some of what you're taking away. And, you know, after the event's over tomorrow, which is Wednesday, October 16th, 3 to 6 p.m. again, just tell us again a rundown of your services and what people can avail themselves of if they want to.
Yeah. So, if you can't make the event tomorrow, we are always open Monday through Friday, 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock. You can come to our facility and drop off any electronics during those times. We also have those 20 recycling events. We have a calendar on our website. And if you're unable to drop it off, just give us a call and we can schedule a pickup as well.
Okay, great. Well, I want to thank Matt for joining us this evening. We have much more to come on Going Green, so stay tuned.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to the show. I'm here with Alex and Meg Gallert, who are the owners of Stevensville-based Alex Veggies. And tonight we are talking about going green. So welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys?
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what your business does.
So we are, Alex and I, we are the owner and operators of Alex's Veggies, which is located in Stevensville, Michigan on Washington Avenue. And we're a local farm stand, so we offer a variety of seasonal produce and currently some fall decor.
Okay. And how did you both get into this line of work?
I'm going to let Sir Alex take that away because I'm married into it.
So I've pretty much farmed my whole life, since I was a little kid, helping my grandfather out on the farm. And it goes back generations of, my family farming. So that's how I got started.
So since you've been in it for such a long time, you know, what have you seen, how have you seen it change over the years in terms of, you know, it seems like, at least to me, an outsider, you know, everyone bought local once upon a time, then it kind of shifted away from that. And now we're seeing a trend again, back to the whole local thing. Is that, I mean, is that what you've seen as well?
I think that's exactly how it's been going.
Yeah.
So, in the 70s and stuff, you could tell people were buying local and stuff like that. And it seemed to trickle away from that. And now it seems to have made a return to buying local and everybody wanting fresh produce.
And why do you think that is? What do you think is behind that trend coming back to local?
I think for one, like, people just like to know where their produce comes from.
Exactly.
And supporting local agriculture too.
Right. And I think it's, like Megan said, and getting to know the person that's, you know, producing your produce for you or handling it for you or
Definitely. I mean, it means something to me, you know, I like to go to farmers markets and actually get to know the people who I'm buying things from. And, you know, food is a really personal thing and it's something you share and do with other people. And, forging that kind of connection is just, it's just nice.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's, that's probably one of the best things is to, get to know everybody in the community and have a little bit of a relationship with everybody that comes to the stand. So,
So growing up, what kind of produce did you grow?
So when I was helping my grandfather out, it was Welch's grapes and some field corn. And then when I got a little bit older and wanted to open up a farm stand, I started doing more like winter squash and tomatoes and the rest of your vegetables. So,
yeah. And Meg, what was that like marrying into this line of work?
It was, I will say, I have never seen or worked so hard personally in my life, like watching Al and like the amount of dedication it takes to farm and how it's like working around the clock from dawn to dusk. So it's been a huge challenge, but I love working outdoors and just seeing his dedication and his passion has only translated like to my, to become my own passion too. So now I've loved it.
Yeah, I can't imagine how much fun it is. I would actually, I mean, I know it's a ton of work, but it would be so satisfying to actually like produce something. You grow something from the earth and then give it to people.
Being able to like during the season, being able to like go into your backyard literally and like pick produce and like go take it and cook with it and prepare and have that be your food. It's so good and rewarding and spoiled. I'm spoiled right now.
Yeah, and being outside all the time. That'd be great too.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah. The only downside I would say is that you know, you get in the house probably around midnight because you're always getting ready for the next day. And usually I'll in the middle of summer, I'll be out there picking till 10:30 at night.
Wow.
And then you have to make sure everything's packed and ready to go for the next day. So,
So it just, it really has to be your passion.
It's a lifestyle. And
You're all in.
You're all in.
Yeah.
So.
So other than, you know, the hard work of it, you know, what are the challenges that local farmers still face? Because even though the trend is swinging back toward that, there are still some obstacles to overcome. What are some of those?
So actually, we are seeing lots of upside to the local produce.
Oh.
Not just myself, but I would say everybody in the community. Probably been the best it's been in a long time.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah,
that's good to hear that our community really steps up and supports local farmers.
This community is very awesome at stepping up for the local farmers and stuff. I don't see another community outside of Southwest Michigan that's been so supportive of everybody around here. So.
That's amazing. That's great to hear. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way's 26 at 6, and I'm here with Alex and Meg Gallert of Alex's Veggies, which is based in Stevensville. And we're talking about going green, and specifically, we're talking about the importance of buying local. And before we did this segment, you know, I did some research about how, you know, buying local, it not only, you know, helps the actual business of local farming, but it actually helps the environment as well. And some of the things that I discovered were that shorter shipping distance results in less fuel consumption, less air pollution, there's less packaging involved. Supporting local farmers not only helps their actual business, but it also protects local land and wildlife because some land might otherwise have been developed and all of that would have been lost. And also, it supports the local workforce, which, you know, we want to create jobs, of course. But then that, too, lowers commutes that people have to take and the fuel consumption that they use. So, like, buying local all around is just, I mean, it helps everybody, not, you know, the earth and the people.
Right.
So are there any other, do you guys do any other, like, green practices, either in your business or in your stand, that you think are good models for other people to use?
So the biggest thing that we've done and I've noticed is as business has grown, I've seen a lot of, you know, using plastic bags and things like that. And I wanted to change that and think of something to do. So with the help of our friends from Recycling Patrol, we earned money to make reusable bags, and which we have given out to the community for free, just to not use so many plastic bags all the time. So that was one of the things that I wanted to do to kind of go green a little bit more. So
yeah, I know I do that too. Like I have my farmer's market bag, and I just bring it with me when I go and load it up and take it home that way. And then there's never any consumable bag involved.
Exactly. And that was my whole mission is you go through so many plastic bags and I just wanted to kind of see not so many being used up. So that was one of the things that we've done.
And really, it's like, it's just a matter of habit. Like, whenever you try to start a new habit, it first it seems inconvenient, you know? And I know with me, you know, there was a time when I was like, oh, you know, I don't know. I can't be carrying a bag around with me. I'm just going to get one while I'm there. But as soon as you start doing it, it's kind of amazing how quickly it becomes. It's just your routine. You
right.
just do it and you
right.
don't even think about it anymore. And it's really not inconvenient at all.
Exactly. And yeah. on top of that, I've seen talking local businesses too in the area. I have seen a lot of different businesses trying to use less more mm-hmm. straws and more cup tops and, you know, just mm-hmm. going more, you know, using less of plastic materials and stuff too that I've seen.
Is there anything else that we can do to educate people about the importance of buying local?
I feel like this community has done a really good job of supporting everybody that's local. And for me, it helps out because when you support, these local, cafes or restaurants or breweries or something like that, in return, they also do buy local for me. And mm-hmm. then, it's just a circle of, mm-hmm. yep, of helping each other out in mm-hmm. the community. So this community is awesome mm-hmm. in doing that. So.
That's amazing. Yeah. So just one last question. If you had any just little tidbit advice for other businesses who perhaps want to source product locally or who want to do a better job of supporting local businesses, what would you tell them?
Reach out because mm-hmm. I that's my biggest thing is I love getting involved with other businesses locally. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, you can always shoot your local farmer a message or mm-hmm. something like that if that's the thing. Mm-hmm. just the communications between each other is mm-hmm. is huge. I know for me, for example, you know, from your breakfast at Full Circle to your gyro, tomato and your gyro at Mr. Gyro's mm-hmm. to your beer slushy at Watermark. I mean, mm-hmm. that's all our stuff that, mm-hmm. you know, the connections that we've made with yeah. everybody in the community and helping us out. Mm-hmm. As a mm-hmm. small business and farming.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and then our community becomes self-sustaining.
Yes.
It really has. We're from Stevensville, so in that little town, mm-hmm. you can tell that we have all kind of come together mm-hmm. and helped each other out, and mm-hmm. yeah.
Yes.
So it's been really awesome.
Yeah, it builds community spirit, too.
It does build community spirit, yeah, mm-hmm. for sure, definitely.
Yeah, right.
It's given me the opportunity to talk to middle school kids yeah. and being able to do that kind of
yeah.
stuff too.
And we just had a farmer's market at Roosevelt Elementary too.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Allowing to educate even kids and youth about agriculture and just like going into the field and what it's like and where their food comes from has been a great opportunity.
Super important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's great. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you coming on tonight. We have to go to break, but when we return, we'll continue our conversation on going green. So stay with us.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to 26 at 6. I'm here with Gustavo Estevez of United Way of Southwest Michigan. Welcome, Gus.
Hey, Jennifer. How are you?
Great. I'm so glad you're here. And the reason we asked you to come on for the last segment is because we want you to talk about how much you have really taken a leadership role and spearheaded some really cool green initiatives inside the offices of United Way.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I want to back up to start. I think I'd like the listeners to know a little bit about you and your background. Gus brings a very unique perspective to the whole topic of the environment because he's from Brazil, which is the home of the Amazon, the largest rainforest in the world. I think it's the largest, isn't
it?
Yeah. So, you know, the Amazon is the lungs of the earth. And every single person on the planet literally relies on Brazil to breathe. And that's where you're from. So you've seen some things firsthand. had, you know, some firsthand observations about the environment that a lot of Americans have, you know, just really haven't experienced. So can you talk a little bit about just, you know, what your home country is like and what your upbringing was like? And what were some early experiences that you had that sort of shaped your views about the environment?
So like you said, I'm from Brazil. I'm from outside of São Paulo, like an hour and a half from there. São Paulo is a huge city. And it's funny because in Brazil, my city is considered like a very country city because of our accent. Mm-hmm. So every time I go to São Paulo, I was like, oh my God, there's cars everywhere. And it was just crazy. And then the city I'm actually from is 500,000 people now because mm-hmm. a bunch of big companies went there. And then like you said about the Amazon, is like more than 20% of oxygen comes from Amazon.
For the whole earth.
Yeah, from the whole, whole wow. earth is 20%. More than 20% is wow. from Amazon. And what really got me, it was this thing about environment, seeing how Brazil is leading now towards Amazon. Mm-hmm. There is like no protection to it.
Wow.
A bunch of like regulations. I'm sure you heard about the mm-hmm. fires that happened. Yeah. So even being from far away now here in Michigan, I'm living here now for about 2 years. I moved to Tennessee first in 2014. I want to find a way that I can mm-hmm. help somehow the earth, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not close to Brazil anymore. Mm-hmm. What, 9,000-10,000 miles away, but I want to find somehow mm-hmm. to help and mm-hmm. do something that our Brazilian government or mm-hmm. Brazil in general is not taking care of it. So how can I help and how can I learn from here? Mm-hmm. And then maybe in a few years go back and apply mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. To help them.
Well, I know when the fires were happening, you said that even though your family doesn't live like right near the rainforest, it was like dark, like in the middle of the afternoon because of the fires. Like, so they were seeing the effects of it, even though they weren't that close to it.
Yeah. So there's even pictures online, like from São Paulo, 3 p.m. and it was like really dark. Some people say that was fake, but there is no way it can be fake where yeah. all the fire happened and no... You know, nothing. There is no precaution to stop. So yeah. And talking with my mom still lives in Brazil, and talking with her, it's just very upsetting to see that some people are even trying to fight and say some of these things are fake when we know we're not taking care enough of it.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, she saw it with her own two eyes. So there you go.
Yeah, and she can see pretty well. I hope she had her glasses on. But.
Another, I think, unique perspective that you bring to United Way about the environment is the fact that you are the youngest staff member. You're 21 years old. And
almost 22.
Almost 22.
A couple weeks.
And you, you're obviously going to be around a lot longer than the rest of us. So you're taking the long view on the environment. You know, this is, you know, some of the rest of us there might not feel the worst effects of climate change. But, you know, you're probably are going to encounter it later in your life. And, you know, that's why so many young people are so fired up about the environment right now, because this is your actual future, not just some distant thing that might happen someday.
I feel like we're all seeing right now.
Yeah.
It's just like you said, I'm 21 years old, and you get younger people, as we can see, as they strike from high school. We don't have as much responsibilities that you guys have. Mm-hmm. So we have our eyes on it. We have time to learn from it.
Yeah.
And so even from my house, you know, talking with my dad, talking with my grandparents, they are not so focused on the environment because you guys have work, you guys have a house that you have to take care of your bills. Mm-hmm. But it is something that's going around right now. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm more worried about my generation. Like you said, 21, you hear... like NASA and all them talking about by 2050, everything could change really bad and I will only be like 50 years old. So
yeah. Oh my gosh.
Maybe not just me, but my kids, my grandkids will see.
They'll definitely see the change. Yeah. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way's 26 at 6, and I'm speaking with Gustavo Esteves of United Way. He is our marketing assistant, and he's also one of the founding members of United Way's new green team, which just formed, I think, in the last few months.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not actually on the green team, but Gus and some others there at United Way really stepped up and took a leadership role and said, you know, we need to be doing something internally inside our own office to start to address some of these concerns. And they came up with a great plan, really simple things that everybody can do at every office. And they're just, you know, they're small things, but they have a big impact because it's a great starting point. And I learned from the Green Team how much doing those little small things can really, it makes a big difference. You know, you think, does it matter if I don't use a straw? Well, actually it does. It makes a big difference. So tell me a little bit about how the Green Team forms and why you guys decided to do it.
So I believe the Green Team formed first because I was annoying everyone. I'm going to be honest. You know, it was Gus talking about environment and everything, but I'm just playing. We have a bunch of people there that really cares. I'm sure everyone does, but like I said, no one really have the time to do it. So me, from like a marketing assistant, I was like, okay, how can I start something? And then I partner up with Charlotte and we talk about how to create this. And it's really simple. Like you said, we focus on how to reduce, reuse, and recycle, at least inside of our organization, and kind of teach people ways how they can do it. Not just inside of the office, but outside of the office. Because like you said, every little straw matters. You know, you can get, what, like 9 billion people using a straw every day. It's not just one more anymore. It's 9 billion.
Yeah.
Because it adds up. The same way a dollar adds up with another dollar is the same thing as a straw.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, I love the education component of the Green Team. So, Gus and Charlotte Becker, who's our director of annual campaign, and the whole team, they put out educational information to our staff about how to reduce, reuse, and recycle. Just little tips and advice and things you can incorporate into your regular, you know, routine. And it's super helpful that you do that. And then in addition to that, our president, Anna Murphy, she decided to put in place a plan, things that we are required to do at the office. We got blue bins to do paper recycling that are all around the building. We've moved the recycling center to the kitchen area. And we're including a bin there for plastic bags, which can be recycled.
And that's a huge deal, too, like plastic bags.
For sure.
Because we use a lot, giving away stuff and receiving. So it's kind of nice because I made a design and it's like the turtles are saying thank you to you. You know, it's something funny, but you give people attention.
Yeah,
and it's something really easy to cut out.
So what advice do you have for other companies and organizations that would like to do something similar?
I believe the first advice I would have, you know, just kind of look around you. Like, look how we live in such a beautiful area starting here in Southwest Michigan. You know, take a time, walk at Silver Beach, walk somewhere by the lake and kind of look around and really feel what's like right now. And then think what you want the future generations to feel. You know, I think that's how it should start. Don't start buying a bunch of stuff. Just first feel what nature really is and what gives to us. And then go back to your office and see what can you come up with a plan. Like we said, just, you know, don't use plastic. It's so simple and will help a lot. And then I believe the second advice I would have is just stop thinking climate change and all this thing is like a political thing. We hear a lot on TV now. It's like, oh, do you believe in climate change? There's not what to do you believe. You know, just open your eyes and watch TV, watch Google. We have Google today that we can see it too. So kind of just change this perspective of, oh, this is a political thing. Oh, I'm from this party, so I'm not going to talk about climate change. Or I'm from this party. Oh, I believe in climate change. It should be, what can we do?
Right. You know? Yes, this community, this local community of Southwest Michigan, we're so blessed with the treasure of just this beautiful place we live
in.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Yeah. I mean, we're so tourists, you know, St. Joe, a lot of people comes here for this. So kind of just take advantage of that and then see how can we keep this for the future generation to have the same thing we can use it right now.
Well, I want to thank Gustavo for his leadership in this effort at United Way. I know it's helped me a lot. And I want to thank all of our other guests for joining us this evening. If you want to know more about United Way of Southwest Michigan or to listen to our other podcasts with WSJM, visit us.
And thank you for listening. Join us Tuesday night with the United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6 on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.